You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world.
Change the world. You can do it.
You can do it.
The time is now. Time is now. Let's get to it. Let's get to it.
We'll talk about changing the world. This is Filippo Voltaggio, and we are live in the Highways Performance Space in Santa Monica, California, where this very year, Highways is celebrating 25 years of quote-unquote changing the world. I could say one artist at a time, one performance at a time, in many different ways, actually, many artistic mediums, or media, I should say, and in ways that we'll talk about. So it's interesting that we at Life Changes have coined a phrase, actually Mark Leger came up with, it's safe to be you at Highways. That could be their commercial, actually. And the more I thought about that, Leo's giving Mark the thumbs up, I couldn't agree more. Being okay with oneself is a good thing. But it's hard to be okay with oneself if one is not safe. It's hard to express oneself if one does not feel safe. And interestingly enough, now this is a moment of, is it art imitating life or life imitating art? But this very weekend, I went and visited one of my brothers. And after a time of visiting and the adults talking, we sat in the living room and started to engage the children in conversation. Well, my brother being a performer and a radio host as well, and myself being a performer, the kids have seen us perform. And so they always want to perform for us. And so my brother invited them to perform for us. So the next thing we know, they are standing on the fireplace hearth and each taking turns performing something for us, either telling a joke or reciting something or telling a story. And some of it made sense, some of it didn't make sense, some of it was silly. It was a lot of fun, and we laughed and we played and we encouraged and we joked. And I walked away from that experience being reminded of how, when I was a child, this is how I got started. I used to perform for my parents' friends. Before I could remember, on their kitchen table, when their friends were over, my dad used to put me on the table, and evidently I used to sing for them. And I don't remember that. But as I got older, I used to tell them stories, tell them jokes, do magic tricks. And then older still, I got a piano. I used to perform for them at the piano. It was safe. It was fun to be me and express myself in whatever clever way I could. And how fitting is it that I myself have seen several performances here at Highways. And over the various performances, I've always walked away saying, well, that was interesting, and always had something that I had to think about. And if I was here with friends, we would talk about, I wonder what that was about, or what did that mean to you, or what did you get out of that, or what do you think they got out of that? And so I like this expression, it's safe to be you, because here at Highways, I've gotten to see some things that we don't see anywhere else. And whether it's in homes, like I would experience when I was a child, or we might imagine in the 60s people did this kind of thing, or in some people's homes that have large homes that would hire performers to come do things that you don't see on television, that you don't see in the big theaters, either because it's not that kind of art that you put out in a massive scale, but it's something that's performed more intimately, or something that's not yet developed to that level, or something that is not accepted outside of here. All of those cases and so many more. The fact that there is a place, a space, where people can feel safe to express themselves the way they feel they need to express themselves, to me, that is powerful, not just for the artist and not just for the audience, but for civilization. And I'd like to explore that with two people who have allowed this space to grow into this century, Leo Garcia and Patrick Kenley, the artistic director and the co-artistic director of Highways Performance Space, when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and actually it's a pleasure to finally, though we've met, finally connect on this level with the artistic director of Highway Space. Again, I've been here many times, but never actually gotten to meet you because you're so busy behind the scenes making it all happen. He's Leo Garcia. He's a National Endowment for the Arts award-winning playwright, actor, filmmaker, producer, teacher, and activist, and has served as Highway's artistic director since 2003. Welcome to Life Changes.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. I love the name of the show, Life Changes.
Yeah.
And I love the whole idea that you've put forth here. Certainly what Mark said about a safe place to be. I think that's what it is. And I love that idea. I've been looking for a phrase to throw and include with Highways, and maybe he'll let me use that. A safe place. It is a safe place. And that's why I'm here, I think. To develop and to present the kind of work that we've been presenting here for 25 years, and to provide a space where people can feel free and safe, and to develop their own relationship with the space, which is how I found myself in this space. I came out here from New York City and was looking for a place to work. I lived about five blocks from here, and it was during the 1992, the riots, I guess that was the year of the riots, and there was nothing to do, really, and I was on my way to Italy to work with a woman, Irene Fornes, but I had the weekend off, so I knew this space was open, and a woman named Annie Sprinkle was performing here that weekend, and so I stumbled into the space and got to see this fantastic artist present in this space that was much like the spaces that I'd left in New York City and I hadn't found in Los Angeles, you know, a black box where this kind of experimental, I was non-judgmental, maybe that's what I was reflecting all of this back onto myself, but I felt really safe here, you know, just because of the work that I saw. And then I started to work here. And then what I learned about this space is that there was the opportunity that the space provided and the people who were running the space, Tim Miller at the time, they were providing us, you know, a key, an open door. They'd give you a key if you were going to work here, and you'd be the only one here, and you'd be able to develop your own relationship with the space. So the whole idea of a safe space, I think, is the core of why I'm here. It feels good. It feels safe.
And there's something to be said, because if you create a space where something is had, something is done here, then the kind of people that are attracted here and the feelings that people get when they come here, it's all about nurturing whatever it is that's being presented.
Right. I mean, my job here is very simple. You know, I have a mission, and the mission is just to develop new works and to work with artists who are dealing with political, social, psychological, personal narratives.
And a lot of minority
and
artists,
to,
right?
And to also work with underrepresented artists from underrepresented communities, which has changed a lot since 1989 when we opened. I mean, it used to be that the underrepresented communities were the gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, queer, Latino, African-American, South Asian communities. Still, there are those communities that are underrepresented. So yes, we do focus and outreach and work with artists who are creating relationships or have relationships and are relevant within their own communities. And we offer an opportunity for them to relate to that community and to have a critical dialogue about the work itself. So those are the communities that we serve.
You know, a little later, we're going to bring in the co-artistic director, Patrick Kennelly, and we'll talk about some of the work that he's doing within the space and then you're a part of. But on the way to that, how have you personally grown while having been here now almost, 11 years?
11 years. Well, personally, certainly, I came in here as an artist, and so my skills as an administrator have been developed while I was here, you know, organizing and raising probably over $3 million to keep this space going. It's $1,000 every day that I have to raise to keep the doors open, and that's just a moderate-sized budget of like $360,000. But when I first came into the space, there had been no one had really considered that, I don't think, as much as I had to consider it, you know, because we were sort of cannibalizing the space because we wanted to, we're a benevolent space and you just want to give things away. Mm-hmm. And we give the space away. And that's fine as long as the people who come into the space, who are partnering with us, understand what the costs are. And what we're raising and what we're contributing to make it happen so that they recognize that there is an exchange that needs to happen. And really the exchange is just the work itself, the communities. We invite them to bring their communities into the space and to have a point of view. That's really all I ask for when I'm looking for an artist. An artist who has a point of view, who's dealing with all those things I was talking about, psychology, sociology, the personal, the idea of individuation, of becoming. That's, I think, my, again, along with it being a safe place, my core connection to the space is this idea of individuating, of being different than the other, or to find your own voice, to have an original voice. This idea of authenticity that I think Mark was talking about earlier is, I think, true to what the vision or my personal vision in this space is. And besides that, to be in the space as the artistic director, one of the things that I've really learned is to practice a non-judgmental, non-dogmatic, non-elitist kind of work process so that we can develop works at all levels of development, as long as they have a point of view and are relating that point of view to community outside of themselves. And even if they're very introverted, you know, we can find a way to develop the work if they have an idea of a voice.
Wow, this is something actually I didn't know, that you actually took part in each of the artists and helped develop their voice or their expression. And I'm really happy to hear that. And no coincidence that our guest Patrick also has something to say, and that he found his way here to be able to say it, and that you two are working on something that I look forward to sharing with our guests when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back, and along with Leo Garcia, we have his co-artistic director, Patrick Canelli. He's a cross-disciplinary practitioner who works in film, video, theater, performance, and the visual arts. It goes even more than that, right? His diverse practice across these disciplines involves writing, producing, directing, designing, performing, and curating, and probably a lot more than that. So we welcome Patrick Canelli on the show. Welcome, Patrick.
Hello.
Patrick.
It's good to be here.
Patrick.
That's a mouthful. Like, when you're reading that back, there's a lot of words going in there.
You know, interestingly enough, I had a conversation with a 26-year-old young man artist today, and he's going to be on the show soon. Fascinating guy. And he's in tune to so much. And as much as he's in tune to, I said, there's more happening right now than we're even connected to. So let's be open to that. So even that mouthful is not even a tenth of what you're really doing. So let's talk about what we think you're doing. You came into this space because you had a project, or you wandered in and said, cool.
I actually, it's probably more of the second. Yeah. When I first came to work here, it was actually as an intern I believe it was the summer of 2004. The Los Angeles County Arts Commission has a program for students during summer times for internships that they fund the organization to hire an intern. And that's how I first stumbled upon Highways. I heard about it because I was going to CalArts at the time. And I had previously, I'm originally from the Chicago area and had been out here for about 2 years. And been, working jobs on commercial shoots and music videos and stuff like that, and pretty demoralizing stuff. And so when I came into Highways, it was really chaotic here, but in an exciting.
What does he mean by that, Leo?
It's chaotic. I mean, I'll show you my office before you leave. It's actually quite beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful chaos.
Well, it's changed a lot over the last 10 years.
It's an organized chaos.
But he's exactly right. It was, and that was pretty exciting to me at the time. And I went to an art school because I was interested in, principally in film and video work, but was continuing to do a lot of other different types of things that would bleed into film and video work. It would also involve art things. And I hadn't explored a lot of performance and theater before I came into Highways, beyond, a really good sense of the history of it and of art. But this was the kind of the spur for me to really explore over the next, 9 years, performance and theater work, which I mostly did over that time.
Isn't that interesting that he called the work that a lot of people aspire to, the film and commercial and all that, he called it demoralizing, a field where some people make a lot of money at, et cetera, where your heart and your passion was in creating something that was more true to you, and you were able to create it here. So that says a lot.
Yeah, I think it has to do with people finding their voice and having the freedom to, you know, express it here. And that's what we do, and that's what I hope to continue to do, and I hope that that's what Highways is around for many more years, for people to find their voice. And working with Patrick, you know, what, again, it's a place where people have their own relationship with it, and Patrick created a relationship that was separate than my relationship. So there was a job for him, because he created a job for himself while he was here and continued to do so, not only as an intern, but eventually became a house manager and an administrator and then the co-director and then a producer and presenter and artist in the space, and you know, also a film director. Last year we were inspired, and we were approached by a producer to go to Africa. We went to Sudan, and we did a essay documentary style film from the work that we created here. It has, you know, really developed into a full-length feature film that we're now in post-production for. So he's a very exciting partner to have on this venture. I'm glad he's here.
And that's the film that you all kindly took a break from for a day so that we could actually have this performance. How is that called? Live performance, but there's a name for when you just...
Oh, a happening.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
This happening.
We're having a happening.
So what is this? What is the film about? Because what is the voice behind the film?
Well, it's a tricky thing to describe, you know, like what's the log line, you know, or like what's the movie about, you know, these types of things. You know, in that description of what I say there, you'll notice that I don't use the word artist at all, because I don't like, you know, using that word per se, because I just feel like, you know, these types of things put things, you know, in a specific kind of like box. What this movie is really about, basically in three words, the prison, what I call the prison of the self. Mm. And it follows the journey of this woman who's probably about 30 years old, who works in Los Angeles and traps herself away in this apartment, and laughing sort of transpire from that. It's hard to kind of talk about it really explicitly at this moment in time, because it's a type of project that's going to be difficult to digest for a lot of people, because what started as a framework of potentially a genre piece, you know, that we would understand, like a psychological thriller, has taken on a lot greater significance, a lot greater weight behind what's behind it. So, that's kind of what's spinning through my mind right now as I'm putting all the last pieces together in terms of how best to dialogue about something like this. And I don't know if I had necessarily, to be honest, I don't really know if I have the answer to that right now.
The musical that was developed here, that you developed here together, actually, what was that? Was that similar? I didn't see it, so let's talk about that a little bit. That was actually performed here.
Yes. Well, a lot of the stuff that I've done that I'm very interested in is exploring these different questions about identity, you know. Mm. And
back to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, identity in terms of both the personal and also, you know, the social, you know, and how those two interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And that was a piece that was a cast of all women. And it was centered around different questions of identity, particularly in regards to femininity and these types of things. And this movie kind of takes that a bit further, because the main characters, it's basically centered around two young women. And these are, talk about underrepresented in terms of the landscape of the movie world. As we know it, we don't see a lot of these types of stories being done that are realistic portraits of these types of issues and particularly, you know, representations of women, real women, you know, as main characters in a movie.
Let me ask you this, actually. Is your role model yourself or maybe women in your life? What is the role model as you're writing?
I think it's both, actually. Yeah, it's very, very much. But they kind of bleed into each other. And what starts as something that I don't go at things to create a personal journey or a personal story, per se. It eventually kind of circles back around.
You can't get away from it.
It starts from a very conceptual. But that's the best way to go about it, you know. That's what I've found.
For you.
And I've learned a lot about that through seeing a lot of work and being a part of this space, you know, for the last decade.
You know, Leo, I could see, like, a relationship with some kind of a therapy school here. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. It's a Jungian space.
Right?
Truly. I mean, that's... I had two great teachers in my life. One was a woman, a playwright named Maria Irene Fornes, who's still with us, and the other is a Jungian psychologist named Mitch Walker. And he is actually the queer Jungian theorist who added another soul figure to the story. You know, there's the anima and the animus, which is each of the soul figures for the heterosexual male and the heterosexual female. Well, Mitch Walker created a third soul figure for the in my process, the queer male, which is the other, or the double. So in that process of individuation and in that process of creation, I've learned through these great teachers how to relate consciously with the unconscious. And this is the place where the Where is it where all the wisdom lies in our
collective
unconscious therapist? So I think that
which was failing you in that moment.
It was. Well, it's because I wasn't relating. I was too much.
Where is the collective unconscious when you need it?
Where are you? But I actually feel it. So all that information is something that when I visit and it's unmitigated, it comes through in a very pure and beautiful way. And there's something about it that's perfectly balanced and relatable. And it has much more information about everything that's occurring around me than I do. But I can reference what I know and bring it back and forth and share back and forth. So that's what, yes, this space has provided me with. And that's the connection I have to that is what I bring to the space. And when I work with people like Patrick or artists who are connecting even unconsciously with the great collective, I think I recognize it and I want to find a way to provide access for them to access that so that we get these great stories like these stories that Patrick is telling. And what I love about Patrick's stories is that he's a very male person, meaning that he's represented here as, you know, I think he's
in masculine form.
But his characters that he's writing about these days are these fantastic and very large women, and I mean their ideas are complicated, and that he's identifying himself through these women is quite beautiful to me, because on one hand it's totally separate from him, and on the other hand it's all of him. So it's a sort of a magical relationship that he's merging with, and those are that's what happens in this space, I think, sometimes.
Jung and I would have a field day. give me the material. Let me see the musical. Let me see the play.
Yeah.
And, you know, interestingly enough, it is almost enviable for a lot of people when one can look at your work or one's own work and say, wow, I just wrote this. And if one stops and says, what does this all mean? Like, what just came out of me, right? Or looks at a body of work, where most people don't get that. They go to a work, a job, right? They come home and they cook, or they eat at a restaurant. So they don't have that connection with their own thoughts and emotions as you would writing stuff down or directing people or you working with artists and all of that. So what I say to them, and I'll take this moment to say here, is that what are you reading in your spare time? What are the pictures you look at when you're flipping through a magazine? What are you focusing on? What are the plays you go to, or the movies you're watching, or the TV shows that you really like? Who are the characters that you really associate with, like Sex and the City. So many people say, oh, I'm so Samantha, I'm so this, I'm so that. The answers are all there in that. What's that thing called again? The thing that...
the collective.
That's it, the collective unconscious. Well, we're going to join the collective unconscious during the break. We'll be right back with more with Leo and Patrick when we come back on Life Changes.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. You did that.
It's catchy.
You like that, huh? And we're talking to Leo, L-E-O. And Patrick, I'm not going to do this. And Patrick, both directors of the Highways Performance Space. Leo is artistic director, and Patrick, co-artistic director. And I have to say, though today purposely we don't have an audience in this space, there are chairs, we do have some people here, of course, the producers of the show. And I should mention, actually, the person who brought us two together,
yes,
Susan Marchese, who is of the Hark Foundation, actually founder of the Hark Foundation. You all are celebrating your 25th anniversary. I think the Hark Foundation is going to celebrate, next year is going to celebrate 25th anniversary. And so we're really happy that you won their trumpet award, Leo.
I did. I was so honored to win an award. I think probably my first award.
No, but it's not. I've got a whole list of them right in front of me.
Yeah.
Starting with the National Endowment for the Arts and then the city this and the Jewish that.
But the Hark Foundation
New York
is
that.
Extra special because Susan Marchese has been a great champion of our space. She's made some great donations and supported the work here. Mm-hmm. And she's a regular audience member. She really visits the space and she sees the work, and that's exciting, and we're grateful to have her. So, and the Hart Foundation, the work that they do is, I think, very benevolent, and I'm happy to be a part of that organization as a Hark Trumpet Award recipient.
You know, actually, now that we say that, she's such a champion. In that, she's when she saw me recently, we hadn't connected in a long time. She said, "I know who you have to have on your show," and that was just there was no ands if buts about it, and that was you, of course.
Yeah.
And then she gave me all the reasons why, and then she gave them to me all again, just in case I didn't catch it the first time. But one of the factions of something that I know she's personally interested in, and she has a foundation about this, is actually connecting art and psychology, and helping people, especially children, through art, being able to help them understand about themselves and helping them figure things out through the art. So. I bow to that. We should actually give the Hark Foundation website so that people know. Susan?
HarkFoundation.org.
Hark, I hear a voice. Did you hear that? Hark, H-A-R-C, Foundation.org. And while we're at it, let's give highwaysperformance.org. You can come see performances here. And we'll talk about art that you can come see here, because there's a gallery as well. And let me give out a couple more websites. We should give out Leo Garcia's personal website. That's leogarcia.com. And Patrick has a website as well. However, let's direct you to the film's website, right? Which is
Excess Flesh the Movie. Oh, no, I'm sorry. ExcessFleshMovie.com.
ExcessFleshMovie.com,
yes.
Which at the moment will take you to Patrick's website. And in the future, will take you to the movie website, because it's all just happening now as we speak.
Exactly.
And speaking of what's happening now as we speak, as we're doing this live performance happening on the Highways performance space, there's a gallery adjacent to it, and sometimes this, I think, turns into a gallery. This space is dance space, comedy space, performance space, it's everything. But in the gallery right next door, right now, there's a piece where it's multimedia, where it looks like there's the top half of somebody and the bottom half of somebody, and then the top changes and then the bottom changes.
Yeah, that's a work by Leon Mostovoy, a trans artist. He is playing with the idea of transfiguring the body. It's, in fact, the show is called Transfigure, and it's like those childhood books when you're a child, and it's divided into three sections, and there's a head, and there's a torso, and then there are the legs, and you can switch the page, and there's an almost infinite number of possibilities.
And as kids, we never just said, "Oh, that's the way it was supposed to look," and left it alone.
Right.
We always like to play and make it look different, and what if I put a dress on him, or a man's head on her, or whatever it was,
and
right?
And that's what this is about. It's about a transgender identity. It's sort of breaking the traditional binary ideas of what male and female are, and that's what Leon Mostovoy does. His art is directed towards the ideas of transgender identity. And it's a beautiful exhibit. We present 50 weeks out of the year, performance every weekend, and we have about 12 visual arts shows in the gallery a year. So come take a look.
So technically, in this box, which is a performance space, when you come in, you're actually going outside the box.
Yes. Well, that's kind of the paradox of the space, because we come from a visual arts origin, which is where performance art moved from, and we're well known for bringing performance art into the theatrical structure of walls. So on one hand, yes, we're very theatrical. On the other hand, we're outside of the box at the same time.
What is one of the most compelling works that I realize you didn't know I was going to ask you this, but do you have something that comes to mind that was either transformative for the artist having performed it or created it, or the audience, or both, or something? Obviously, one can say all of them, arguably, but anything for you?
Well, I mean, of the thousands of artists that have presented here, I can say that there is a constant flow of transforming works. Certainly, our community has talked and still remains very excited about the work we did with Patty, the musical we were talking about earlier that Patrick had created and developed. We've had great artists here like Ron Athey, who does these very political body political works where he'll actually hang on hooks, or there's the idea of the of bloodletting, which is, I know, sounds very bizarre, but around HIV, when you have some relationship with blood on the stage, those kinds of political actions transforms and really confronts in some strange way or some harsh way how one is really dealing with these ideas of HIV and blood. So,
and we're not talking water with red dye.
No, we're talking about very well. Yeah, but we're talking about his blood. But also, it's not a careless or reckless use of it. It's a highly structured science. You know, I was going to say scientific, but there's a way that he goes about presenting the work.
There's a methodology to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So those kinds of works are very challenging for me as you know, an individual. And so those are the kinds of works that have transformed my ideas and have taken me to a new place in this space. Very radical works. You know, there are, I can continue.
But
I think those are sort of extreme.
And someday maybe you ought to. There's a whole, whether it's a series or books or something or blog posts on each of the experiences, or some of them at least, because some of them will never be repeated, because that, well, most of them, if not all of them, will never be repeated because it was the expression of that particular artist for
right.
the most part, right?
In a particular time.
At a particular time.
In this particular
time.
Space.
Right.
So, yeah, we do have an archive that we've been, since I've been here the last 11 years, developing and always looking for funding to maintain that. We want to put it online and make it provide accessibility to anyone who wants to take a look at the history of the space.
Wait, so you're always looking for funding? So people,
always.
Where can people
funding.
Go to help fund?
Go to highwaysperformance.org, and there's a button that says donate, and you just press that button, and you, any donation will go directly to our space, and it'll go to the development of our archive, some of these new artists that we're working with, equipment, sound, lights.
And of course, it's nonprofit.
We're a nonprofit, yes, so it's tax deductible to the full extent of the law.
Okay, I don't know what that smile was about.
Whatever.
Inside joke.
That's just a phrase that I always see at the end of the please make a donation. That's
really?
It just came out of nowhere.
Okay, it came out spontaneously. It's the space. The space makes me do things spontaneously. So what? Anything that you'd like to see here in the couple more minutes we have remaining, I'm going to ask you what you'd like to see here, or anything that hasn't been done here that you'd like to encourage somebody, that you hope somebody walks through this door and allows for that kind of performance to take place. And Patrick, I'm going to ask you, where once you've done the movie, and I know that's still a big undertaking, but what else you might want to explore in this space?
You know, I'm looking for people with ideas. I'm looking for people with original thought. I'm looking for people who are exploring new forms of performance. So please go on our site. There's a little door that you press and it opens and you have access to the space. It's really that simple. It's an open door policy that we have. And we start a conversation once you engage with us. So we're at the end of 25 years. And, you know, initially, Highway's mission was to articulate and work out the crisis of living in the last decade of the 20th century. Mm. So we're now 14 years into the 21st century. Mm. We sort of reorganized after the 20th century, and we've completed a lot of what we wanted to complete. So we need to come up with a new plan for the next 25 years. And I think a lot of that has to do with remaining true to our original mission, which is just to develop the works that we do, to explore forms of performance, and also to work with with the communities that we work with. And we also want to really delve into the archive and provide that to the world, to the public. The next steps really depend on who comes forth, you know, who are the stakeholders in our space. Mm-hmm. And we will be calling out for them to come and join us and to revision and to consider all the possibilities of the next 25 years.
Wow. Very exciting. On some level, one can feel like you've almost seen it all. But yet, life has a way of surprising it. Well, have you ever seen anything like this in this space? Have you ever seen? I don't know what you're doing there, but
that's the old broad thing with the cigar.
Have you ever seen anything like this in this space?
No, this is brand new. It's a happening.
Well, there it is. We just did something new, which is hard to do at Highways Performance Space. And thank you for doing it with us.
Thank you so much for having
me. It's good to do it. Patrick, what would you, after the movie, which I you probably can't even see past the woods right now that you're in with the movie, but...
Well, I think, a point that Leo was making before about Highways and its, you know, mission to working with underrepresented communities, my mission in doing this stuff, if one is going to go about creating works... versus, you know, being a politician or going into conflict areas and, you know, doing the real stuff, then to me it has to be about doing something I've never done before and looking at something in a way that I don't feel has been looked at in a particular way before, or representing something that I don't feel has been represented. And so everything that I do is I go at it from a place of complete ignorance, and it's a process of learning and discovery, because there would be no point in doing that for me in doing any of the stuff if it wasn't about that, if it wasn't about learning and growing and being able to exchange that with an audience, with other people, because to me that's the most important part about creating work. It's a dialogue between the creator and the people who are receiving it, and an open dialogue. Not every, you know, artist or whatever goes at it that way, but I think that's the vital part for me and what this is about, and how work, artistic work, or these things can potentially affect change in some way. Because it's not going to affect change in a big way like policy will and these things, but personally it can. And so that's the most important part of doing this to me. So what's the next mission? I don't know exactly, but it'll be something along those lines, I'm sure.
Well, this is exciting, and I would like to add to that it can influence in a bigger way than we even know possible from this place in this space, because one person can see one performance, and that could affect their political career. That could affect the films that they make or what have you, because they just connected with something that just happened on stage. Or the person that did something on stage finally was able to do it and they broke through something, and then they can go off and do something on a grander scale. We don't know what effects we have beyond this. Right. And I've heard so many people say about things like this that aren't as well known, there should be more of this. And so I've been saying that kind of thing myself at times. And then I realized, well, there isn't more of this because I haven't brought the attention to it. And so today we brought the attention to this space from our perspective so that then there can be more of this. And so I appreciate you for carrying the torch, for allowing this safe place to continue to be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
To the fullest extent of the law. And with that, Leo and Patrick, this has been a great pleasure. We're going to continue to use your space for 10 more minutes as we bring our producer, Mark Legere, up for our producer's wrap right after this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
This is Filippo, and we are back, and everybody who is here is so excited. They're talking and having a great time. I really enjoyed that. And Mark, thank you for it's safe to be you. I love that.
Yeah, I'm glad it hit home for everybody as it struck me. All the art and all the performance that I've heard about as I've gotten to know Highways, it seems like there's another art that they've really mastered, which is being boxless.
I like that.
That was the other thing that came up, is living outside of the box, really, you know. In reflecting on being safe, you know, it feeling safe to be oneself, in any part of life. You know, I was thinking about it from a natural sense. You know, there's nobody out there, there's no entity out there that says, you know, all you prickly piney trees have to stay over here, and you big bulbous leaved trees, you go over here. None of that happens, and yet there's a natural, beautiful order and complement to things. And then and I started stepping back and started thinking about what if we, for just a moment, could eliminate, eradicate all of these rules and definitions and judgments that we place on people. And while I was thinking those thoughts, I started thinking about those moments in childhood when it's still safe to be a short redhead or a soft feminine boy or an aggressive female or whatever, a singer, a dancer, a painter. And when, as you were saying, when you're in the books and you're piecing things together, there's no judgment. There's just unbridled creativity when you're in the sandbox and you're playing and you're building, and it's just whatever comes to mind, because there's no limitations. The only limitations...
There's not going to be a test on it either.
Right. And the limitations seem to come later in life or through experience, when suddenly it didn't feel safe to be something, because somebody had a certain definition or a certain box. You know, when you're born, everybody loves babies. And everybody loves youth and that aspect. And there seems to be a tipping point when suddenly the color of that baby's skin then becomes judged, or some other aspect of that person, or where they are. Is it safe to be a certain religion? Is it safe to be from a certain part of the world? And yet, for those first moments of entering into the world, that doesn't exist. So those are all the thoughts. I think it's really powerful, what Highways does, and I'm excited to have been a part of this tonight and find the intersection of their highway and our highway. If you
will. Boy, you're just is it the space?
It must be.
You know, it's interesting coming to the performances that I have seen here. Has helped me be that non-judgmental person, because if I would be one to say, why do people judge me? Why is there so much judgment in the world? And then I'd be the first one to sit in this space and watch somebody do on stage something on stage and say, oh, that person's weird. Yeah, why would they do that? That's you know, And I didn't
the first one.
I'd stand up in front of the whole audience and say, no, I'm just, you know, I'd walk away thinking something like that. And then I'd come see another thing and I'd be kind of like on that edge. And then finally I thought, wait a minute. And thanks to the show, and thanks to you and Dorothy, and having grown and the work that I've done, and to Jung, and to, you know, all these things, I come to say, wait a minute, if they didn't do that, I wouldn't have a place to understand myself better. And some of the things that I do are what make other people say, ooh, that's weird, he does that. And so I'm doing what I don't like, what's being done to me.
Everything is weird until it feels familiar. And
right.
That's what seems to be the hardest thing for people to understand, is if you're born here, then you have this set of experiences, and they're born there, and they have that set of experiences.
Right.
It's Apple and Microsoft. It's, you know, Linux and it's different operating systems, different programming. One will not right. run the other. And it's that simple. Until one becomes familiar and somebody tries broccoli and then decides, wow, I really like broccoli. Suddenly that's normal. I eat broccoli, you know.
And just before the show, Leo and I were talking about something exactly like that. I said, do you remember when ballroom dancing was for the weird people? And he said, yeah, there was certain small culture of people that mm-hmm. thought it was whatever. And now Dancing with the Stars and everybody's, you know, doing it and it's cool and all that. And why? Because someone shone a light on it and made it more, would you say, where is that collective unconscious when you need it? But yeah, somebody said,
awareness.
Somebody
it
put it
normal.
On stage and said, hey, I mean on TV, and said, hey, this is cool. And now it's cool.
Well, you know, this rings true, and these cycles come and go. And you look at a lot of the what is considered new science that's coming out. In quantum physics and you know some of these studies that point directly back to Aboriginal practices,
right?
And you know I grew up hearing about rain dances, and sure it looks like fun and everything else. It feels symbolic, but then you actually learn that there has something to do about the motion and the intent and the harmonics. And there's a whole science to this, is that there was not just dancing around hoping the clouds would come. There is a metaphysical, a quantum aspect to actually creating and intending their world, and that's part of what we're learning how to do.
And Leo was talking about the bloodletting, or the guy hanging on hooks and all that stuff. It makes it, you know, kind of right now talking about it, kind of it's kind of not my thing that I know of. But there are some people that maybe
some things don't ever really get normal, but.
No, but there are cultures
in
Aboriginal culture, or I don't know about Aboriginal, but original cultures where that was done.
Right.
And either whether it was, I don't know enough about it. I might go read about it now because I heard about it here. But whether they were like, it was a health thing or a religious thing or a ceremonial thing, or it might have been a rite of passage thing, or to show masculinity. They didn't have big Ferraris to show masculinity or whatever. So they said, hey, looky what I can do. Stick that thing inside of me. See?
Everybody's
I don't even flinch.
Working
I don't know.
With what they have to work with and in that space of consciousness. And like, you know, it goes right back to the same thing. Everything's weird until it becomes normal, or until there's a greater understanding of what the reasoning is behind it, or where it was learned. You know, like you said, you may go read about it and maybe you'll have a completely different perspective. I don't know if you'll
do it.
Moved into the practice.
Yeah,
or not,
I think I'd get a Ferrari.
But maybe we should do a special show.
But maybe we should. I mean, now I'm curious. What was that about?
Right.
And you know, and actually, oh, unfortunately, we run out of time because I was going to take it somewhere really.
That's that special show.
Yeah, let's save it for that special show. We might have to get Leo back on to bring his understandings of it, but. This has been special show at Highways Performance Space live. Incidentally, this is being videotaped for posterity and potentially a documentary and potentially who knows what. All we know is that we had a happening, and this whatever we just did here will reverberate for at least 25 more years to come at Highways Performance Space. So with that, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and what's that phrase he said? To the fullest extent of the law, we have provided this show for you. I thank you all for being here and want to remind you that as your life changes, we're here for you to the fullest extent of the law.
And then so.
Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.